Remember, as we're looking at the book of Ecclesiastes, God has equipped Solomon with wisdom as none other. So therefore, of all the different people, Samson, strength, and David, a king, and shepherd, but for Solomon, it's wisdom. So, if you were going to write Ecclesiastes and to communicate wisdom, its good and its inadequacy, then you're going to have to use someone that knows it, and that's Solomon. Solomon is well equipped to speak on the subject. In fact, there is no one else ever, apart from our Lord, that has been so equipped with wisdom as King Solomon. Thus, with that in mind, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, you have been looking at wisdom again. And in the light of that, I'll read verse 12, or picking up the end, verse 12. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, a bird trap. So are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. So as an animal, bird, totally unexpecting, gets trapped. So, in the light of that, people, unexpectedly, there they are out there. What's ahead, and how shall it be? Thus, the end of verse 11, the key, the end of verse 11, but time and chance happeneth to them all. The what and the when, God knows. We don't know. So when you think you have everything and do everything, there's always the stuff that you didn't consider, didn't understand. Always the pieces that are missing. Now, having said that, the Spirit of God uses Solomon to continue. And Solomon reaches out in using wisdom and trap and being snared. So when you come to verse 13, this wisdom have I seen, I have seen it. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. I looked, he said, there's wisdom. There's wisdom, and wisdom has power. Wisdom is to be recognized, as you'll notice in the end of verse 13, great. A great value, great in importance, something really great. Wisdom can produce a really great thing, wisdom can. And it can do so. But wisdom is not always recognized, and wisdom is not rewarded. So, the exercise, wisdom is very valuable, as you'll see. Now he's going to use an illustration of wisdom and the fact of the matter that wisdom isn't always recognized. It isn't recognized. And it isn't rewarded. Verse 14. There was a little city and a few men within it. So you want to think of a little city, village, and you want to think of a city, a village that has a wall around it. So it has a wall to protect it. And a little village walled, or city walled, and only a few men. So very, very insignificant little city, only a few. Now, would you pick up in verse 14? And there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. So in contrast to a little city, with only a few men, were going to have come against this little walled city. It's walled, that's why you build the bulwark, etc. And so a great king, a great ruler, with his army comes and surrounds this little city. He surrounds the city, besieged, he surrounds it, and he builds bulwarks out of dirt and rock, and he builds up a moat, as it were, builds up a platform where the his troops can go up onto the thing and go over the wall, in the towards the wall, over the wall, shoot from their height, and he builds these bulwarks. And so here's a great king with an army, big army, and he comes and he surrounds this little village, walled village, and then he builds up these great bulwarks, platforms of dirt and rock in order to enter and attack the city, which is the issue. It's a military attack. Now, verse 15, there was found in it a poor, wise man. Nothing's in between, poor, wise. Poor means a laborer, common laborer, someone who works and has to work common laborer. A poor laborer, common workman, who is wise. And he, and by the way, that to remind you, wisdom isn't bound to riches or poverty. Wisdom can be found anywhere. So it isn't bound by who, where, when. No, wisdom is just there. So the poor wise man has it. The rich one, the king, doesn't have it. Verse 15, now there was found a poor wise man, and he, by his wisdom, rescued the city. He did that. He had whatever he had a way, and he directed. He told the people what to do and how to do it, and the walled village, the city, was spared from the king, with the great king, with all of his efforts. Yet, the end of verse 15, the point, yet no man remembered that same poor man. No one remembered him. The result, they did what he suggested. They had the victory, and they forgot all about him. Forgot all about his wisdom. He was a poor, wise man. They forgot all about his wisdom. Now, in the light of that, and in verse 60, remember now, they build the wall up, and this poor wise man delivered them. And keeping in mind, if you would, the chapter 9, and in verse 11, 9 and 11, I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Now, just that part right there slides down to what you're looking at. The king comes with might, strength. But keep in mind, verse 11, that the fastest runner doesn't always win. The person who is the wisest doesn't always have success in business, bread, material things, doesn't have success. And the battle to the strong. The biggest army doesn't always win. The mightiest person doesn't win. Goliath doesn't beat David. It would seem silly for David to beat Goliath, but David beats Goliath. So you have to understand this time and chance, and you can say this in all probability, but it's only probability because there's the factors, the pieces that we do not have, and time and chance knows them. And so, looking, here's this man, illustration, verse 14 and 15. And in 16, then said I, in contrast to the people didn't know the man, then said I, Solomon, wisdom is better than strength. And that rides back up to verse 11, the battle to the strong, the strong. Wisdom is better than strength. Better than strength, no question. Better than being strong, military power. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. So not only is the man rejected, but because of the poor man who he is, they despise the man. They have no regard for the man. And they don't hear the man. They don't hear him. They don't listen to him. His advice is ignored. He gave them victory. He gave them the right words to win. But you know, people don't. That was true, but they don't listen to the. He says 10 other good things, but they don't listen to it. They just listen to one, and they forgot all the rest of it. Now, so not only do they reject the man in verse 15, they reject his words and his advice. And it is said, you know, a thinking brain has more power than a cannon. A thinking brain has more, and of course the brain has more power than strength, obviously. No question about that. If you had to choose what you could be, what you would have, would you want to be 15 feet tall and have no one could beat you? Or would you rather have a sound mind to think? Which would you pick? You pick the mind. When you get older, what do you want? Body? No. The one thing you want is to preserve and keep your mind. You may do nothing, but your mind works, your mind. Now, having said that, you come to verse 17. And verse 16 thus slides into 17 and 18, but 17 and 18 will slide into chapter 10 and following. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary, to send forth a stinking savor. So 17 and 18 not only go and bring verse 16 together, but then they go and continue in chapter 10. So in verse 17, wisdom is introduced. Wisdom is stronger than foolishness, than folly. And here in verse 17, the words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. So we're comparing the wise and the foolish. And the words of a wise man are heard. They are heard. They take it to heart. And a wise man is giving advice, and in the midst of pressure and distress, like in the battle with the wall, the enemy was all around the city. The words of a wise man are heard in quiet, in rest, resting, ease, inactivity. Quiet doesn't have to panic. Clear, solid advice, not a panic. Look at the end of verse 17, the other half. More than the cry, the crying out emotionally, crying out of distress, the cry. The cry of him that ruleth, the one who's a ruler, the one who's a king, the one who's a general, as it were, ruleth among fools. So the king, the ruler, the general, whatever, crying out in distress, crying out loudly to do something, but he's talking to fools. And it doesn't go anywhere. You're talking to fools, and they don't pay any attention at all. Thus, contrast. The beginning of verse 17, the words of a wise man are heard in quiet, are in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth. So the wise man speaking calmly, quietly, rightly, is heard, and the people listen. The people are listening because the fellow, the whatever it is, the wise man, is giving the right advice, the right words, wisely. And they listen. People have to have an ear to hear, to listen. And if they have a heart, to take it to heart, the people that listen gain the wisdom. The people that don't listen don't have any, don't hear. They're fools. They get nothing. They hear nothing. So when you come down now, in the light of that, the shouting of a ruler didn't produce anything with fools, and the quietness, rest of the inactivity, as it were, of the wise man produced. Now, let me do two things while you're looking. Hold your finger there if you like. Over in Proverbs 29, you'll look at this word quiet. Proverbs chapter 29 and picking up, please, in verse 9. If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest, there is no quiet, there is no communicating. The wise get to the person that needs the wisdom, the person that needs to know what to do gets the information, and between the two of them, one already had given it and the other person now practices it, and there is rest, there is quiet, we've got a handle on the problem. We know what it is and what to do. Now, if you're still holding your finger in Ecclesiastes, go over to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, and you are familiar, but you'll see the same word. Isaiah chapter 30, picking up in verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning, and there's your word rest, R-E-S-T, rest, quiet, inactivity, stillness, repose. In returning and rest, quietness. Remember, you take the good advice and get good advice and good wisdom and you rest in it and practice it, and you're resting, you're quiet. You don't have to get panicky, you don't have to cry out, is there any help or hope? No, you have it. In quietness, in returning and rest, shall you be saved. And in quietness and confidence should be your strength, but they would not do it. It was easy to do. Why don't you just listen to the wisdom and practice it, trusting God, and you'll be at rest. You won't have to panic like the king or the ruler crying out, don't someone understand what I'm trying to tell you to do? No, they're just going to get it. They're going to understand it, and they're going to be strong. Now, with that in mind, back over to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, I'll read verse 17 again. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Verse 18. Wisdom is better than weapons, than instruments of war. Strength and quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Strength. Because you're thinking right, you're doing right, you'll be strong, strong, strong. You can have a lot of strength, but if you don't use it well, it doesn't come out well, does it? And think of all the other sports, whatever you want to go, the people that know what they're doing, do it with ease, comparatively to people that don't, and you're putting all your oomph in, you know, all your oomph to do everything, and they just beat the britches off of you. And they just relax, because they know just what they're doing, you see. Now, verse 18, wisdom is better than weapons of war, instruments of war. But one sinner destroyeth much good. So here we're comparing the wisdom of the ages, the wisdom taught that is absorbed, is better, good, And it's repeating verse 16, remember? Verse 16, the first part. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. And now you get on to verse 18, wisdom is better than instruments of weapons of war. So you're connecting the thought, the movement. And so wisdom is better than instruments of war. It's more powerful than weapons of war. Then for fighting, if you're going to fight, have wisdom in doing so. And but one sinner, the word sinner means to miss, to shoot an arrow and miss the target, to miss the mark that you're firing at. You fail to hit the target. You err. You get sight. It doesn't go where it's supposed to go. You sin. You erred. You miss the target. You come short, Romans 3. You come short of the glory of God. You miss the target. Thus, verse 18, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner, one missing of the mark, can destroy, completely destroy, much good. Now the way to get this, if you want to hold on to the verse 18 and the section, hang on, think of a scale, we have one still. Don't have to guess at it, still got it. A scale. And one end of the scale is much good over here. And the other end in the scale is missing the mark. So here is much good coming to the top. But, error, mistake, missing the mark. Can put the scale like this, and the error, one sinner, outweighs much good. Much good should be winning, but when you can, if the whole thing can go down the tube with one error, one missing of the mark, and the heavier is the sin, and the lighter is the much good. It just doesn't balance out. That means one lousy, you know, if we offend in one, the Lord says it in being saved, if you offend in how many points? One point, you're guilty of what? All of it. See? One. What's one? I did good for 5 weeks, 5 days. I did the right. Only one can louse it up. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, go with me. Well, let's re-put it together, and then we'll do it. We said, shared together in verse 13, 14, 15, a little city, but who remembers the poor wise man? The end of verse 15. Who remembers him? Verse 16, wisdom is better than military might and power, but who wants to hear and understand that? Who wants to hear and understand that wisdom, and here's Muhammad Ali or something out there, whatever, Joe Lewis or somebody, you know, Rocky Graziano or whoever else out there, you know, fighting. You say, boy, what? Who wants to have just wisdom? Just wisdom. To hear and understand? Who wants to do that? Thus, and we come to verse 17. Those who would hear will hear. And you know, the Lord says it, the same thing, over 9 times, I think, he says it, in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 9. He who hath ears, let him hear. If you have an ear, use it. Use your ear to hear well. Not your muscle, your ear, to hear. Thus, in verse 18, or in verse 17, those who hear, they don't want to hear and they don't want to understand. about, but in verse 17, to hear, to have a heart to hear, wisdom taken into the heart is very profitable, very profitable. And the heart speaks. God speaks to the heart. God speaks to the heart by his word. Hold your finger here just a moment and go over to, just for the sake of different word, but fine, over to 1 Kings, and if I may, chapter 19. 1 Kings 19. And you would remember Elijah is beaten up. He just beat up 850, slaughtered 850 men all by himself. And he's just ran a long way. And then he meets Jezebel, and Jezebel says, within 24 hours, I'm going to kill you. And dumb Elijah was worn out. And so how could a woman, after he just beat all her prophets up, killed them, how could a woman do anything? But he doesn't see that. He just is down, and when you're down, boy, is it easy to go down further, isn't it? When you're pressed down, you can easily go down further, depressed. And the way to get undepressed is to what? You know the little saying. When you're depressed, press on. That's the way to get out of depression. Press on. Rise forward. Be strong. You want to get out of it. Otherwise, you stay in it. And depression, does depression care how long you stay in it? I mean, could you stay in it a whole week? Could you stay in it a whole year? Yes, you could even go get some more help anyway. 1 Kings, God, what are you going to do with Elijah? Well, Elijah runs and runs, and God lets him go all the way to Mount Sinai. Well, that's a long run. And God gives him lunch a couple of times, tells him to take a nap so he's all worn out, and he gets him to the, you know, there. And then God, you know, the conversation, God said, here's the earthquake, here's the wind, here's the storm, all kinds of noise, all kinds of activity, all kinds of show, all kinds of strength. And then you come, of course, to, I'll read verse 11 for a little bit of better context. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. I mean, I'm impressed, and I'm up there. I gotta tell you, has my attention. And break in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake, and the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, verse 12, a fire. I mean, I'm impressed. I mean, this is some show, and I'm hanging on the edge whether what's going to happen to me. Then, and you know, verse 12, the Lord was not in any of those. God used them, but if you don't pay attention to them, you pay attention to God's word. And after the fire, a still small whisper. God whispered. Loud earthquake, rocks falling, lots of noise, and then a whisper. God just whispered. Thus, you know, the silence of God speaks louder than most activity that you'll ever hear. God's silence. God doesn't say anything. God gave you his word. Read his word and relax. Wisdom is better weapon than is the best weapon there is of all the instruments of war. You can't beat wisdom. Wisdom pays attention. And thus in the church in Laodicea, the church in Laodicea needed to take advice from our Lord, but they wouldn't take it. Thus, with a still small voice, back over to Ecclesiastes 9. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, And in verse 18, remember, wisdom is better than weapons of war, 9 and 18, but the sinner destroyeth much good. So the best weapon for fighting is wisdom, and yet it can be completely destroyed and ruined, and that all of it misses the mark, so that all of the good and all the stuff you could have is gone. Thus, and the and keeping in mind verse 11, that material gain, going in verse 11 again, in the middle of the verse, nor battle to the strong, we did that, we just looked at that, nor yet bread to the wise, material thing, you can have all the wisdom and all the stuff in the world, and it doesn't work. There's time and chance and the things that are you can't calculate. Do you throw it away? No, you just have to understand that everything doesn't always seem to come out the way you think it should. And as you want it to, it just doesn't come out that way at all. Thus, with that little bit in mind, would you go over with me, please? Oh, over to Proverbs chapter 9. And just to remind us, in the whole, Solomon has wisdom from God. The wisdom is wonderful. Wisdom is better than anything. But wisdom is very limited. Human wisdom faces time and chance. You don't have the information. Wisdom is better than all the strength and wisdom, but things happen and unrecognized, unappreciated, unwanted. That's the way it is. And people don't pay attention. Think of all the Think of all the books that are out there now that are helping our society, if we read them, to help the society understand what on earth is happening. And they're well done. Apparently they're well done. Good, documented, factual, helpful. But do you think that's going to, with all of that wonderful information, good analysis, good diagnostics, but who's paying attention? We aren't paying attention. So even and when people do pay attention, it's too late. Once the snowball, pretty good snowball, soft snow, very sticky snow, sticky, and the snowball starts down the 5,000-foot precipice slope. Down it goes. And as it goes down, and it reaches the a third of the way down, the snowball has grown. True? Now, try to stop the snowball now. And once the snowball hits halfway, try to stop the snowball. The snowball has such force, you know you should have got out of the way of it. But down it comes, and once things start, think of history, how hard it is to ever fix them. Once it starts, once the water starts coming out of the dam, and you put your fingers, and then you need more fingers, and you don't have them, and it keeps coming. Once the water gets strong enough, what on earth would you do to stop Hoover Dam from breaking? You'd just get out of the way, wouldn't you? Just get out of the way. And that's where we're at. Now, in the light of that, because God's allowing and outworking his wonderful plan for his imminent return. Thus, Proverbs chapter 9, we want to understand that wisdom is wonderful, but boy, in and of ourselves, we don't want to do it. We just, nope, not our wisdom. Not at all. Not at all. Before you do Proverbs 9, let's switch. Go over with me to Jeremiah. Maybe more helpful at this point. Jeremiah and chapter 17. Jeremiah 17, what do you know? What do you know about a human people? Chapter 17, verse 5, the context is wonderful. Let me just hit a couple of thoughts. Thus saith the Lord, 17:5, Jeremiah, cursed, not blessed, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, humans, and maketh flesh his arm, his own ingenuity, his thinking, his brain power, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Cursed be the person. It isn't going to come out good. You're trying to think and handle life without the God who is in charge of time and chance. Of all the things that are unequal, unfair, seemingly difficult, depressing, too hard. No. Verse 9 then, keeping that in mind, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? The heart is deceitful. So we're sitting there and we aren't going to go. Here's our mind running over here and our mind runs over there and our mind runs this way and that way, and we do, and our mind is doing that, and we're trying to rationalize and reason and put together and react and respond. But we need to know that we don't want to be like in Proverbs 9. We want to understand that I want to have good understanding, and God, my mind, is not going to give me that. As much as you may think your mind is good, and it is good from a human standpoint, perhaps, but in the light of what you need, in the light of what is required, it isn't good enough. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, having said that about the heart, we aren't going to trust it. We aren't going to trust the wisdom and words of men. We hear them, but he that does so is not wise. Now, over if you would, chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah 9 and verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. So we cover the wise, the strong, and the rich in one shot. Don't get hung up in yourself, riches, strength, glory, wisdom, power, riches. Verse 24. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. God, look to you. We need to look to you. And we don't want to get hung up. The heart is deceitful, and we have to lock it in to where we do it, whether we feel, because you're going to trust in the part of you that feels strong and capable. And it's when you run out of resources and you have no answers that you worry and you get tired of worrying, then you look to God perhaps, but you're worn out when you do that. You should have done that right off. If you dig a ditch and you're digging in the wrong place and you dig for 5 hours, the hole is much bigger than if you quit and found out the hole was in the wrong place and saved quickly. The quicker, the better you understand, the quicker, the better it is. Thus, to look to God and trust God. Now, hanging on, James chapter 3. So we don't want to go and trust our heart. And humans to trust man. Cursed be the person that trusts mankind. Don't want to do that. Got to trust God. Not how wise we are or we aren't, looking to God. James chapter 3. Verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if we have bitter envying and strife in our hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Don't kid yourself that your heart is deceitful. And there's nothing, that's the way it is. You were born with that, and you developed it. And depending how old you are, you spent all these years developing it. So relax, it's what you've got, what you live with. But you're not going to trust it, you're going to trust God. This wisdom, verse 15, descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. So we don't want to get hung up in the wrong way at all. Solomon is caught looking at life under the sun, without leaving God out, under the sun, trying to weigh it out in wisdom. Wisdom, with as valuable as it is, as strong as it is, does not have the answers, cannot handle the what you're up against just being alive on planet Earth. It cannot handle it, so you have to look to God. And Solomon said, listen, my whole point is that if you don't look to God, the best wisdom in the world is useless in really coming to grips with reality. Thus, James 3 and 16, For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But, we don't want to have that. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. True, genuine, God says, trust me, look to me. Get your wisdom from me, as it were. Now, having said that, we need to have a good understanding of the pieces of what we're looking at. Whatever it is you're looking at, you need to have a good understanding of it. Now, what do you need to know of your good understanding? Well, you have the pieces. You may not have all the pieces, but you have pieces. That's all you have, the pieces. And then you have to ask yourself, how accurate are the pieces that I have? And the pieces that I have require pieces around it. Like in a puzzle, the pieces that you have, piece that you have requires pieces to see it. But the one piece that you have, how accurate is that piece? You don't have all the pieces. How accurate is the piece? Question. So it slows us down. It helps us. Because we aren't looking to trust in it. We're using it, looking to God, exercising our common sense and in the light of biblical sense and looking to God. But we aren't trusting it. We're trusting you, God. I work with my thoughts. But we know that your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so, God, we're doing with our little thought, yielding to your thought, which whatever you have. Thus, Job chapter 1. Job and chapter 1. In Job chapter 1, Job, remember, has the wonderful privilege of knowing God, and the God who he knows is to be known even more so. And God, every time you think you know, God will move you up another level if you let him. Every time you say, God, thank you, I thank you, and you know something of God, about God, then you're ready, and God is going to do a work in your heart to move you up. And Job is already perfect before God in the sense that he's complete, full, 100% wholehearted with God, Job is. And that puts Job in a place to be exercised for more. And thus God allows it. So Job is going to be exercised, as you know, with great disaster in a 24-hour period. Everything that could go wrong seemed to go wrong. It went wrong in the fullest extent. No one of us knows anything of such things. We've never had such things. At our very worst, we've never known such as Job. And God uses that. God always does things so you can't say, well, like in Hebrews 12, you'd say, well, you know, I'm up against temptation and trial and sin and problems. God, you have to understand what I'm up against. And remember Hebrews 12, 1, 2, 3. He says, listen, don't you go and say that you understand more than he does. Christ endured the contradiction, Christ endured full opposition, 1,000,000% of everything that you even could dream of. Now, don't you say that he doesn't understand. God is faithful, who will not allow you to want, to have anything or any way, anyhow, anyone beyond that you can handle. So don't ever tell God he doesn't understand. Don't do that. And thus here, Job is going to be raised to know God better. Thus, testing, verse 21. Then said Job, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job, do you have all the pieces of what's happening? No. But I know this. I came into the world with nothing, and I'm going to leave with nothing. I know that. And just to know you, God, I came in with nothing and found you. I'm going to go out with nothing and have you. God, blessed is my soul. Thus, verse 22, in all this, Job sinned not. He didn't make a boo-boo to lose it all. He sinned not, but charged God foolishly. Look to God, trusting God, leaning upon God. And God does his most wonderful thing in his most wonderful way for his honor and his glory. God does it. It's an awesome, wonderful thing that God does. So we're looking to God. Solomon said, the wisdom, as good as it is never good enough. You're going to have to look to God, because human wisdom is corrupted by the heart, by humanity. And with all of its wisdom, with all of its designs, with all of its cures, with all of its science, and with all of the things, medicines we have, and gadgetry we have, and electronics we have, and megabytes and megabits and all the other stuff, wow. Not one drop of any of that stops the fact that you're dying right now. You came in naked, and you're going to what? Go out naked. Nothing stops it, does it? What stops it? Nothing. So don't glory in riches, strength, power, wisdom. No, glory in an understanding of God, who he is and what he does. And God will bless your heart. I hope you're getting a little bit. Solomon says, don't do it this way. With all of it, use it, but don't trust it. Look to God, and God will help and encourage your heart. Anyway, thank you.